This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Guys, we got a show. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is a show to end all shows. We have got Trent Green, who's going to join us from the NFL on CBS, Pro Bowl quarterback. We'll talk Patrick Mahomes and his former team, the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll ask Trent about this huge matchup against the Rams being moved from Mexico City back to Los Angeles. We've got the Battle of the Bulge. It's dire straits right now. Only a couple of weeks left in the season. And huge freeze now trails Mraz by 2.5 games. Should Mraz defeat the one and only Robbie in this picks contest following week 17? Robbie is banned from the show for good. Battle of the Bulge coming your way next hour on the show.
Standing tall on the wings of my dreams.
And the big one. 1 hour from now, one of the greatest players in NFL history. He may be the most talented running back ever to play football. He was arguably the greatest college running back of all time. Heisman Trophy winner. And a guy that just simply left your mouth agape every time you watched him. Barry Sanders will join us an hour from now. One of my favorite all-time players. So that is a show to end all shows. We'll preview tonight's Packers and Seahawks game. We'll look at how badly LaMelo Ball's career is going right now. We'll go inside the Warriors and this friction between KD and Draymond. And we've got your best audio of the day, including the great Mike Leach at Washington State. So this is a big show. Any of those topics you want to weigh in on, please hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter. Get at me, DA on CBS. We begin with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Le'Veon Bell on Tuesday decided, I am not returning to Pittsburgh. I am not playing in 2018. He is now ineligible for the rest of the season, and the Pittsburgh Steelers can officially turn the page. And yesterday, a really interesting scene unfolding in the Steelers locker room, where players were raiding Le'Veon's locker and taking out some of his stuff and keeping it for themselves, like his cleats and other gear. these guys going into Le'Veon's locker and swiping his stuff and laughing about it. They took his cleats, a box of sneakers, some other gear, and they showed off laughing about it, joking about it. Marquise Pouncey said, I don't talk about players who are not with the team. If you guys want to ask me about any of those questions, you're wasting your time. David DeCastro said, it's just kind of nice that it's over. Now we can move on, keep getting James Conner some more yards, keep winning games. It's been fun. We've been on a fun roll, and the season goes a lot faster when you're winning. Ramon Foster, who is the Steelers union player rep, said nobody had spoken to Le'Veon Bell. Cam Hayward, the team's defensive captain, said it stinks when the guy doesn't have to answer his own questions. And Ramon Foster, when asked about what the communication was like with Le'Veon Bell, said nothing. It's his business. And then DeCastro was asked whether Le'Veon might have regrets for skipping a season where the Steelers could win a Super Bowl. And DeCastro said, quote, I really don't care. What's interesting about this is that the Steelers just lost an all-pro running back for the rest of the season, and nobody seems to care. The question is, are the Steelers actually happy Le'Veon Bell is not coming back? It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
That'd be tough. You know, especially part of the great thing about this sport is this band of brothers and this group of guys in here and being with them. It's kind of what keeps me coming back, you know, after so many years too. But like I said, to each their own. Each guy has their own motives and motivations, and you know, I can't comment on him.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Ben Roethlisberger asked whether he would have the stomach to sit out an entire season. Look, there's no doubt the Pittsburgh Steelers are happier right now that Le'Veon Bell is not coming back. Now, that might change if James Conner gets injured. That may change if Conner turns back into a pumpkin. That may change if late in the season they can't run the football or they're one and done in the playoffs and feel as though Bell could have put them over the top. But right now, there's no doubt they're happy he's not there. And that's a big part of why you have to wonder whether the Steelers are actually the most dangerous team in the AFC. Look, the New England Patriots have all of that experience. They still have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, so you would never count them out. But we've seen how average they can look and how average you can make Tom Brady look with the right scheme this year. We know how great Pat Mahomes is. We know how great that Chiefs offense is. But a couple of years ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers had no trouble going to Arrowhead and walking out with a victory in the postseason. If the Steelers have now just washed their hands of Le'Veon Bell and they all feel cleansed, if this is a franchise, if this is a locker room that right now feels great because he's not there, look out. Because they're playing good football. They're playing really good football. And James Conner's been everything they could have hoped for and more. And right now, you're not getting the nonsense with Antonio Brown, I guess except for the 100 miles an hour speeding ticket he got a couple of weeks ago. But the defense has played better. The offense is scoring points. They're running the football well. And the Steelers know they get the Patriots at Heinz Field in a couple of weeks. Guys, Le'Veon not being there now for the rest of the season, I think will lift this off of that locker room, and I think they are ready for takeoff. I look back at Ramon Foster's comment about how Le'Veon refused to communicate with his teammates this season. Quote, he rolled how he wanted to roll. They released their stuff to y'all. So you guys find a time to pick an interview with him and his team. those guys in that locker room had already cleaved off Le'Veon Bell from their team and started looking at Le'Veon Bell as his own team. Him, Drew Rosenhaus, his people. It was Le'Veon's team versus our team. They already looked at him as an opponent. Now that they don't have to be asked about the opponent, now that they don't have to wonder and worry and question what will happen, now that there's a clean break, I think the Steelers become even more dangerous. Now I'm sure there's a real circle of wagons, screw you, Bell, we're going after it with this Steelers team. And I've always said the Steelers seem to perform best when they have drama around them, but this might be the moment where they perform best because the drama is finally lifted. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. What a big, big show we've got coming up for you. As I mentioned before, Trent Green's going to join us this hour for the NFL on CBS. We got to talk about this Seahawks and Packers game coming up tonight. When you really look at this, this is probably another elimination game in the NFL. Because these two teams are right around 500. The Packers are 4-4-1. The Seahawks are 4-5. This one's in Seattle. The Packers have not won on the road yet this year. It's almost Thanksgiving. Green Bay is 0-4 away from Lambeau, all four of their losses. So they have to get a road victory tonight. They really do. Because if they don't, look at the rest of the schedule, they still have to go to Minnesota next weekend. They still have at Chicago. They have a Falcons team that they get them at home, but we know the Falcons can be explosive when they actually put their bleep together. But look, the Packers have to, as I've said before, they've got to get one of these three tough games. At Seattle, at Minnesota, at Chicago. They have to. Because without that, you're talking about an 8-7-1 season. And 8-7-1 is not going to make the playoffs. They've got to get one of these. Tonight's a good opportunity. But they've got to figure out a way to win on the road. And they have not been able to win a game away from Lambeau this year. And if they lose tonight in Seattle, how hot will the pressure be on Mike McCarthy the final 5 or 6 weeks of this season? People will be all over him. Because if you're the Packers with Super Bowl aspirations and one of the best quarterbacks of all time, to be 0-5 on the road this year would be completely unacceptable. Again, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll jump into your phone calls coming up here next. Plus your best audio of the day, including which Pac-12 coach would be last man standing in a brawl. Only Mike Leach could have that answer. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Throwback Thursday to you, everybody. You can always watch the show. The simulcast is cooking right now. Go to watchda.com. Now, you can do that on your phone, on your tablet, on your smart TV, on your laptop, on your PC. Wherever you are, you can watch watchda.com and check out the simulcast every single day. Cap pulling the levers back there, doing a great job as always. Coming up, Trent Green's going to join us this hour from the NFL on CBS. Next hour, NFL Hall of Famer Barry Sanders, perhaps the greatest natural talent that's ever played running back in the NFL. Barry Sanders, 40 minutes from now. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Brandon's in Youngstown, Ohio, a 96.7, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, sir. Avid listener, first-time caller. Beam me up.
You got it, my man. What you got?
Appreciate it. I know you usually speak on facts, more so speculation. But I have a speculation I'd like to hear your opinion on. I feel that maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers knew Le'Veon wasn't coming back prior to the game on Sunday. Like you said, due to the distraction and everything, the Steelers sometimes play better surrounding drama. But I think that weight was lifted off their shoulders the way they just annihilated the Panthers' defense with all the hype surrounding them throughout the weekend. And I wanted your opinion on how you felt on, do you think that possibly they had some insight that Le'Veon wasn't coming back?
I mean, it's possible, but I doubt it only because it's felt like they've been kept in the dark about everything. And you had Rooney last week say he assumed Le'Veon's going to be back. So if the owner is saying that we assume he's going to be back, I have a hard time believing the team knew better. But I do think that was kind of a popping point. I think they've been at the point now where they've been asked so many questions about Bell and why he's not there and if they're okay with that and if they're better without him and all of this, that it has kind of been a slow boil. And as they've seen James Conner rise to the occasion and as they've won football games and as they've come together as a squad, I think it's become a bit of a snowball rolling downhill. They're picking up momentum as they play. And I think just last week, the Carolina Panthers were the victims of a team that's playing really good football right now and was clicking in all cylinders. But they have rattled off 5 straight wins and 6 of their last 7, and they put up some big-time numbers like 41 against the Falcons, 33 against the Browns, 52 against the Panthers. I just think they're getting better right now, and I think that they will now take off even more knowing that the whole Le'Veon thing is behind them. And wouldn't it be the great irony of all ironies if the year Le'Veon Bell sits out and tries to prove his point, the Pittsburgh Steelers actually win the Super Bowl, which is absolutely on the table. And as I said yesterday, Le'Veon's gamble here is that he saves his body for the entire season, coughs up, sacrifices $14-plus million, but makes up that money in the offseason. Okay, but you've got to make as much as Todd Gurley got guaranteed last year, which is $40, $45 million guaranteed, and then add the 14 that you missed this year. Because had you played this year, you would have gotten the Gurley contract. That's where the bar is set. Now, I know that you risk injury, but you've got to get the 45 that Gurley got and the 15 that you lost. So you need to make $60 million guaranteed for financially this to have made the most sense. And out of the, he's going to get that. Imagine the irony if the Steelers win a Super Bowl without him and he doesn't get the money that he actually sacrificed in sitting out. It's time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Brandon Marshall has seemed to be washed up for a long time. He's now 34 years old and has never played on a playoff team. The New Orleans Saints could be the best team in football. They have signed him. They're going to make the playoffs, so this will be Brandon Marshall's first year ever in the postseason if he remains on the team and remains healthy. Hey, Brandon, how good do you feel?
Can you still do it like you used to?
No, I'm done. I'm washed up. You know, I went, you know, my what my film says, the last, you know, this year is what it is. So that's what it is.
So Brandon Marshall joking about how he's washed up. Let me give you a different quote that I love. He said right now he feels healthy as a trout. Now, this is a great image. This is a great metaphor. Healthy as a trout. I've never heard that. But when I think about it, yes, trout normally seem healthy. They're quick swimmers. They're smart. It's hard to catch them. Anybody that's ever tried to fish for trout knows they can be really aggravating. But what other animals, Mraz, would you say healthy as a sounds right?
As a deer?
healthy as a deer? You find deer to be quite healthy as animals?
Other than deer, you know, being shot and put up in cabins, I think for the most part they gallop around and
we're not talking about them getting shot.
I know, but that would be unhealthy. But I'm saying
that would be very unhealthy.
Forget that. That's, you know, man-made unhealthy. I think as an animal galloping, you know, around the wooded areas,
they're kind of fit.
Yeah,
they're agile.
Yeah, they don't. You never see a fat deer, right?
No.
You never see a deer that's like, man, he could stand to lose a few. Like, they always look.
Yes.
You know, not unhealthy, skinny, not muscular, happy, drinking their water. I think a healthy as a deer.
Healthy as a deer is a good one. Balad, you got any?
Giraffe.
Healthy as a giraffe. Giraffe built in the same mode, kind of thin, long neck, always eating the plants.
Yeah, but that neck's got to be killing you. You need a chiropractor, I would think.
But healthy as a horse. Horses are usually healthy, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Healthy as a racehorse?
Yeah, racehorses usually are. I mean, I guess they can get some ankle injuries and whatnot.
Ox.
Healthy as an ox? That's a good one.
Like, you're never going to go healthy as a hippo.
No.
Too wide a load.
Healthy as a raccoon? Probably not, because they eat trash.
Yeah, you don't want to be eating garbage.
Healthy as a cat?
A cat? Yeah. Cat's healthy?
Healthy as a cheetah.
Healthy. Cheetah's a very healthy animal.
That feels very healthy.
Bobcat.
Healthy as a bobcat. I guess trout's the healthiest of the fish.
Sure, I would imagine. You never see a good healthy fluke.
Nobody says healthy as a bass.
I don't know where we've gone here.
Washington State head coach, the great Mike Leach, was asked, who would be the last man standing in a brawl between Pac-12 coaches?
And I don't really care if they get ticked off. Because actually, privately, I think I would, but we're going to be more modest than that. I'm going to say Kyler Herm for sure. Kyler Herm.
Why is that?
They're both in shape. For why? I mean, simple. This age, if you're in shape, you got a chance. They're both in great shape. You know, you look. I mean, they're both in shape. They both exercise.
What about like size, like a guy like Mario Cristobal at Oregon?
Well, you don't want to get tied up with him. You don't want to let him get his hands on you, because he is big and he's got long levers. You don't want him to get those things on you. He would be dangerous, though. There's no question.
I mean, the fact that Mike Leach's press conference can spiral into which Pac-12 coach you'd least like to fight. He is a gem. We once had Mike Leach on this show to talk about a book he wrote about Geronimo. He wrote a biography about the Native American chief Geronimo, the great warrior. I mean, he is an amazing Renaissance dude that also not only talks about the fight. And by the way, Mario Cristobal, definitely I'm taking that fight. I also got to say Herm Edwards is a very, very good vote. He said Kyle Whittingham or Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards once threatened to kick my ass, so I'm definitely voting for Herm. You may know this story by now. Maybe later on in the show I'll tell it in its entirety. But Herm once came up to me on a practice field and said, if I was your age, I would kick your ass right now. And I said, Herm, even at my age and your age, you could definitely still kick my ass. I mean, he ran the steps of Arrowhead Stadium every single morning. And finally, Steve Summers on WFAN, the evening show in New York, wanted to interview John Maffey of the San Diego Union-Tribune as Jacob deGrom deservedly wins the National League Cy Young Award last night. Only one writer did not vote for deGrom in first place in the Cy Young. It was John Maffey. Here was Steve Summers.
John Maffey is with the San Diego Union-Tribune. John, can you look at yourself in the mirror? John?
Can I? Yeah, absolutely.
No. You're looking for 15 minutes of fame and attention.
Steve, this interview's over. Thank you. Goodbye.
What? Well, there's a guy. Well, with a little... with a Well, one of my better interviews.
What?
What? Well, one of my better interviews.
That is even better than Richard Justice, because when Richard Justice was on hold for this show, I was talking about how we were going to discuss the NBA playoff game or NBA finals game after he was on, and he hung up during my intro, so he never actually got on. I wish Richard Justice would have said, this interview is over, and hung up after like five words. And Steve's reaction, who is a radio legend, what?
What?
Is just epic. What?
What?
How could you look yourself in the mirror? No. You're looking for 15 minutes of fame. What?
What?
And that... I feel like Summer's what is now going to become a new drop on the show. It's very much like Hurricane Jen's what. What? What?
Do we have a what montage now?
We might have a what montage.
What?
What?
Oh, the two of them together in real life would be amazing.
What?
What?
When we come back here on the show, Trent Green's going to join us. The NFL on CBS. What's the effect of this game being moved out of Mexico City for his former team, the Kansas City Chiefs, and into Los Angeles? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
My man, DA, how the hell are you? Keep up the good work. We're the CBS Sports Network on lock.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. Full episodes of the DA show available on iTunes. Search DA and CBS. You'll find us there. Anything that you may have missed or want to hear again, check it out on iTunes. Also, full episodes are available on our website. All archived audio is there. Go to daoncbs.com. Our next guest is a two-time Pro Bowl starting quarterback. He will be calling Houston and Washington this weekend. Analyst for the NFL on CBS and friend of the show, Trent Green, joining us this morning. Trent, good morning.
Hey, DA, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And you had the Chiefs last week. And so you've seen up close and personal throughout the season just how good Patrick Mahomes is. But this week, a different challenge. They'll take on one of the best teams in football in the Los Angeles Rams. What do you think about the effect of moving this game out of Mexico City and back to Los Angeles? How will that affect what Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and that offense try to do?
You know, I don't know if it's going to affect much about what they try and do. I think logistically you have a lot of things. It's which team is going to handle the distractions the best. You know, that was a coaching point that was brought up over and over again throughout my career is, you know, things happen, whether it be injuries or, you know, weather or family or job or whatever it may be, and how do you react to those things? And so I think the team that reacts best to it, I think the coaching staff that handles it the best, you know, first off, in Mexico City, you're playing at elevation, so the ball is going to travel differently. And now in L.A., it's not going to. So I don't think that's going to have as much of an effect. Just as, you know, same thing as the team going to Denver having to adjust. And you just go out a little bit early for game, for pregame and try and get those adjustments made. But, you know, I think in terms of what their biggest worry, speaking of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, would be, you know, how do you attack that that L.A. defense?
Yeah, and the question is, why have we really not seen a young quarterback take any steps back this year? I mean, this is so rare. Do you feel as though inevitably at some point Mahomes will kind of come back down to earth, or can he be this sensational the entire season, his first starting campaign in the NFL?
You know, I'm as you're saying that, I got a big smile on my face because it's like you keep waiting, right? You keep waiting for for that week where it's like, okay, he just threw three dumb interceptions. You know, it's like he scrambled out to his right, he tried throwing off his wrong foot across his body against the grain and got it intercepted, and it caught. It just hasn't happened yet, and really his grasp of what's going on, you know, he's level-headed. We broadcast him the last couple of weeks, and, you know, he just has a really good, mature attitude and approach. And I'm like, are you sure you're 23? Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're handling this the way you're handling it. You know, it is. It's pretty impressive. And I think a lot of it is just his maturity, being around, growing up, you know, his dad being a major league pitcher, growing up in a locker room, growing up in that environment, having the benefit of sitting behind Alex Smith a year ago and seeing how a pro really does his job. You know, Alex is like, listen, I'm not telling you what you have to do. If you want to come tag along with me, this is the time I work out. This is the time I study film. You know, this is how I prepare. And he just absorbed all that. And you know, I don't want to give too much credit to Alex Smith, but I think that, you know, when you're a young, impressionable quarterback and you're trying to learn how to play the position, and you can emulate some of those things. Now, when I've had conversations with Patrick, how did he adjust and make it his own? That's really kind of been the difference for him is, okay, this is the way Alex did it. I know this is the way I want to do it. And I think he's put his stamp on things.
Trent Green from the NFL on CBS joins us here on the show. In that game, the Chiefs handled the Arizona Cardinals relatively easily. I'd like to get your assessment on rookie Josh Rosen. What did you see from him, good and bad?
You know, I liked his game a lot, and I, you know, we kept saying during the broadcast, it's impressive that he kept getting up because he took a beating. I mean, it was just relentless. Whether it was a three-step drop, it was a bootleg, it was standing in the pocket out of shotgun, whatever it may be, he was on the ground all day, and he just popped right back up and kept going. So that impressed me a lot because he wasn't yelling at his teammates or yelling at the linemen or making an excuse or limping around and making making dumb decisions. You know, sometimes you get hit that many times, it's going to affect some of your decision making. And I thought he handled things well. That was a 6-point game until Justin Houston, you know, baited Josh Rosen into that screen pass. Justin just read it really well, jumped up, got the screen pass, gave the Chiefs some great field position, and that's what ultimately ended up, you know, being the setting up that final scoring drive.
You've got Houston in Washington this Sunday for CBS, and you know, Washington is 6-3. They're clearly the top of the NFC East, and there's still plenty of people around football that don't really believe in them, and plenty of people in D.C. that don't believe in them. Why do you think we have this question mark surrounding a 6-3 team like Washington?
You know, I'm just like everybody else. I was like, how are they 6-3, right? And then you go back and you start looking at things, and it's like, okay, they're playing really good defense. They're running the football. They're not turning the ball over. Are they putting up a ton of points? No, but you know, they're finding ways to win, and they're 2-0 in the division. And you know, obviously the division's not as strong as what a lot of people thought that division was going to be. You know, but over the course of the next month or so, you know, they're going to be facing all those teams. After Houston, they've got Dallas, Philly, and the Giants 3 weeks in a row. So that division's going to be separated, or it's going to all clump together even more as we go down the stretch. But yeah, the Redskins are one of those teams you scratch your head at because you look at, you know, you go back a couple weeks against Atlanta, and you're like, oh my gosh, how is this team winning football games? Because Atlanta just decimated them. And then you look at, you know, you look at the Dallas game, you look at the Giants game, you look at the Tampa game, and it's like, okay, this is their formula. They're playing good defense, not turning it over, taking advantage of the other team's mistakes. And I think that's really, you know, when you look at this game with Houston, because of the dynamic playmaking ability of Deshaun Watson and some of the big playmakers they have on defense, you know, who's going to make the big mistake, you know, to open up the door for the other team?
Trent Green, NFL on CBS. He's going to call the Are These Two Teams Good game, Houston and Washington, because the same thing we say about Washington, people are saying about the Houston Texans as well. I mean, in the AFC, the premier teams are the Patriots, the Steelers, the Chiefs this year, yet the Texans are 6-3 and atop the AFC South. Could you fairly put the Texans in that group with the top three in the AFC, or do we need to see more?
I need to see more. I do. You know, starting off 0-3, and I know they've won 6 in a row and they're on a roll, but if you go back and you look at those games, they beat Buffalo, they beat a struggling Jacksonville team, but they really dominated them defensively, what they were able to do against Jacksonville. And then Miami put up a ton of points. And then really, if you think about last week, Denver – or I guess their last game, which was before the bye, the game against Denver, Denver missed a field goal on their last play of the game that they could have won it. So I still need to see more. It's interesting what's going on in Tennessee. So I think, and it's interesting going on what's going on with the Colts and Andrew Luck. I see this division. It's kind of gone this way for a few seasons now. I see this division just kind of being just battling back and forth all the way till the end to that final week.
the Patriots are 7-3, but all three of their losses are real smash jobs. I mean, they got smashed by the Jaguars. We just saw this last week against the Titans, who just really roughed them up. The Lions did the same thing. What's the common thread there? Why do you think in those three losses the Patriots have not lost close games? They've really been blown out.
Well, I think it was a different Jacksonville team when they faced New England, and I think Jacksonville was had a lot on their minds from last year in the playoffs and everything else. And then you look at the other two, the common denominator there is you had Mike Vrabel and Matt Patricia, in Detroit and Tennessee. So two guys that know the formula and know the New England way. And the interesting thing breaking down that those games is Brady. He's only had two games this year where he's completed, less than 60% of his passes. And two of those, or maybe it's three of the games, but two of the games were against Detroit and Tennessee. Now, all the other games, I think seven games this year, he's completed over 64%. So what is it that Matt Patricia and Mike Vrabel put together game plan-wise that caused Brady in that passing game to struggle as much as it did? And if I'm an opposing team, over the next, 6-7 weeks here and even into the playoffs, I'm studying the heck out of those tapes to try and figure out what it is they did to throw off the time, because that's very un-Brady-like to hold him. I think one game he was 52%, one game he was 54%. So, that's a formula there. And like I said, I didn't dissect it enough to break it down, but there's got to be something there.
Yeah, Trent Green joins us here on the show. Before I let you go, give me your snapshot of the Los Angeles Chargers, because as I mentioned, kind of the darling teams of the AFC are the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Patriots, but the Chargers are a very sneaky 7-2 right now. How dangerous do you think the Chargers can be late season and if they make the playoffs?
Well, I think they can be very dangerous, and they've proven that out. There was a part of their schedule, and it's right in the middle of their schedule, which is what they're in, that if they were going to have the season that they were hoping to have and the season that they are having, they had to win the games in the middle, because now they're getting close to coming up on a stretch where they got to go, at Pittsburgh, they got to go at Kansas City, they got to go finish up at Denver, Baltimore and Cincinnati, not having the best seasons in the world, but those guys, they're all in that same mix with Pittsburgh in terms of trying to fight and get those final playoff positions. So they've got a tough road here the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season, but they've done exactly what they needed to do. They needed to put themselves in position. I really like the weapons that Philip Rivers has around him. Is he putting up the astronomical numbers that he has in previous years in terms of passing yards? No. But I think he's done his, if not maybe his best job in terms of low interceptions, high touchdowns. He's got the running game with Gordon and sprinkling in Eckler to mix things up. I love his wide receivers. And Bosa, they just said Bosa went back to practice yesterday or is about to go back to practice. So they're getting healthy on that side of the ball, and their defense is formidable as well. So it is a team that I think you have to worry about. But their stretch of games here, these last 5 or 6 games, is really going to be kind of set the tone there for the Chargers.
Trent Green joining us here on the show from the NFL on CBS. He's got the call. Houston in Washington. The Texans go to Washington to see if they can remain in first place in the AFC South, the battle of two first-place teams there on the line. Trent, it's always great to catch up, my man. Thank you so much for doing it.
All right, DA, be good. It's good talking with you.
You too, brother. Be good. Trent Green joining us here on the show. I guess that actually would be a pretty perfect segue into when Herm Edwards threatened to kick my ass, because Trent was the quarterback of the Chiefs when I was covering the Kansas City Chiefs and working out in KC between the years of 2003 and 2008. And by the end of that run, they had had the Dick Vermeil, Priest Holmes, Trent Green, Tony Gonzalez years, and little by little, guys had retired, gotten injured, or had moved on. And they were desperately trying to kind of hang on, but eventually realized they couldn't, and so they had to start kind of the rebuild. And at that point in time, they kind of started jerking around Trent Green in terms of, will we bring him back? Will we not bring him back? Will we offer him this? And Trent really wanted out if he wasn't going to be the starting quarterback. Eventually, he ended up with the Dolphins, you might remember, as a starter. Well, at this point in time, there was questions around the city whether they were jerking around Trent Green and being fair to him. So I had talked about this on my show, and I'd asked a player on my show, do you think that guys are being misled by the front office. Well, the Chiefs had a tendency in those days to monitor everything that was said on Sports Talk Radio, including my show. And so it got disseminated around that office. And apparently, I had been public enemy number one there before within that franchise for being critical. But this time, it really ears went up because I was suggesting that the franchise was being dishonest with these players that had won so many games for them. So I go out to practice one day, and Herm Edwards is talking to a group of people and says, you know, I was told somebody called me a liar on the air today. And I'm going to address that with that person after practice. And I go, boy, I wonder who that is. Actually, not knowing that was me. Because earlier in the day, Herm said, D.A., I want to talk to you after practice. And I was like, oh, Herm must be a big fan of the show. Must have heard some good bit that I did. Then I realized, oh, no, he's really mad at me. So Herm comes to me right after practice. Scrum of media finally dissipates. He goes, D.A., did you call me a liar? I go, Herm, I never called you a liar. He goes, because if you did, if I was your age, I would kick your ass right now. I had to calm him down a little bit. Barry Sanders will join us next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.